All right, so here's another late posting. Yeah, you know, it was Labor Day weekend, so I figured I would enjoy Labor Day weekend. And it was a beauty. But now, a super, super show awaits you here on The Vault of Silliness. It's a Norm Nathan show from September 1st and 2nd, 1995. I've bestowed the title of Greedy Grabby Grubsters. Mason Adams begins the show. We cash in on a pile of callers. There's a very brief call from Jim driving a truck. We have a caller talking about old-time radio. There's a quick hit from Gregory, Gina, and Baby Miles from Marion, Massachusetts. Tom from Harwichport on the Cape talks about conservation and Cape-centric topics. Say that a few times fast. Margaret from West Newbury. Edsels, Studebakers, and Ford V8s with no brakes. Oh my! Ruth Klenet promoting the 13th farm stand. We hear from Peggy. Joe and Taunton on those bank you-know-whats. We have an unknown caller. Then we have Jim in the car, who makes Norm apologize to Robert? Marion in Greenland, New Hampshire. We have a great caller, Rob, who mentions Steve Allen, who he had on the night before. He loves the show being so entertaining and informative. Guests are not the same old that you hear on the other stations. You're welcome, everybody. Dieter in Maryland, proud of Uncle Norm. Dina from Brantford, Ontario. Granny Brown from Norwood. And Irene in Ohio asking about Chauncey. Here's some loose change. There's some Jack traffic reports sprinkled throughout. Norm threatens to sing. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was having their grand opening at the time. Then included on this episode, I actually kept in the ABC News with Dorothy McIntyre. It's a brief newscast, but I figured why not just let it roll on through. Mel Simons and his accordion were going to be appearing at the farm stand, and Norm was going to perform his native folk dance wearing his loincloth and sandals. There's lots of fiery loins covered in those cloths. Cumberland Farms, Nissen Bread, Artisani Park, banks, naked tellers, and keeping one's dignity. Norm tells an old bank joke, and then Norm rails against banks and commercials. Miss Emerson from the phone company. Tongue depressors? Up your poopy? Magazines in the doctor's office waiting rooms are a clue to how long your wait may be. Clean teeth. And nickel pickles. We get treated to quite a variety of commercials here. Bally Total Fitness. Mom, the Motion Odyssey movie ride at Jordan's Furniture in Avon. Ovaltine with Martin Baird of Farmers Branch, Texas. Juliana Quisling of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, with her red irritated baby for Baby Gold Bond. Boston University was having a Windows Tech Night. Hot Microsoft and Windows jobs. Free Microsoft coffee mugs. Xerox. WBZ Business Breakfast with Anthony Silva. Ovaltine versus Nestle Quick in a big throwdown with Joe Arujo of Louisville, Texas. And lastly, some more red itchy babies with Ann George of Philly, PA. Episode 153, Greedy, Grabby, Grubsters, deposits its way to your ears in 3, 2, and 1.
Lou, I can't give up my soul. I just love my rock and roll. With a name like Rock and Roll, it's got to be something. I don't know. Why don't I shut up and go to Jim, who's in his car in the Maryland. Hi, Jim.
Hey, hey, Norm.
How you doing, Jim?
Very well. Listen, I'm a new listener to your station.
I'm glad you tuned in. Thank you.
Yeah, I picked you up last night. I drive a truck.
And there's 20 tapes in it, and this covers a whole bunch of programs.
Yeah.
Like Burns and Allen, the Jimmy Durante Show, Hop Along Cassidy, and All Miss Brooks, Milton Berle, and like that, you know.
Yeah.
And like Gail Gordon that just passed away.
Yes, who was with Lucille Ball recently on television, who did a lot of radio.
Oh, my. He did so much radio. When you start reading up on this stuff, in 1935, he had a radio program of, I can't think of the name of it now. It was one of those, like, cartoon characters in the comic books.
Yeah, I don't recall that specific program, but he certainly would have been around that time because he was in his 80s when he died recently.
And plus, he was in the Coast Guard during World War II.
Yeah.
And he was on Fibber, McGee, and Molly. He played Mayor La Trivia.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
And in Duffy's Tavern, one of the characters that's on almost all the tapes that I have, of the six tapes and the 18 programs, is the guy that played the voice for the Flintstones, Fred Flintstone. That Alan Reed?
Alan Reed, that's right.
Right.
That's right.
He was on the...
He did a lot of radio work. He was on a number of shows.
Right.
And I think he was, for a while, was a part of Alan's Alley. That is
right.
Fred Allen's Alley. I think he was on that, too.
Yeah, and he was the fellow that did the poetry thing, like.
That's right. That was Alan Reed. That's right.
A tape I ordered yesterday, I just put it in the mail yesterday, was for the Charlie McCarthy and Edgar Bergen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And,
maybe you'll get one with W.C. Fields. He used to show up on the show a lot.
Yeah, especially with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
No, that's the show I mean. And he would,
right.
He would have this feud with Charlie McCarthy.
Yeah, he'd say, "I'd make a pencil out of you."
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Fred Allen's show now with Allen's Alley. That was great. Like Mrs. Newsbaum.
Yeah, you were expecting maybe Tura Lura Lura Bankhead.
Yeah, right.
Or also I forgot his real name. He's from New England and always maintained Parker Fenley,
right.
Who played, he was the guy who said, "Howdy, Bob."
Yeah, right. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then the guy that was on Fred Allen that did the Senator.
Senator Claghorn.
Right.
Kenny Delmar was the announcer.
Right.
And he did, he was the one who was from the South. And he said, "Whenever I'm, I never go to a game in Yankee Stadium."
Yeah.
And he only drank Southern Comforts, and he only watched the Southpaws, like Dixie Walker. And that was his old shtick.
Arthur Godfrey was an announcer for Fred Allen, too. He's on.
You sure? Really?
Oh, I got it on the tape here.
No kidding. Well, then you know.
Yep.
Then you know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
During World War II, Arthur Godfrey came on and he was making us think about the government and wearing your tires out, you know, and saving rubber.
Oh, yeah.
For the war.
So that was Arthur Godfrey did that.
Right.
I didn't know that. You know something? I didn't know that.
Here we go. Hey,
all I need is a little bit of prodding, and I'm off and running, you know. Yes.
You needed a leather medal and honorable mention for that, Norm. You did a great invitation.
Okay.
So it's great talking with you, and you're right down my alley when it comes to old radio programs.
Well, you're down my alley, too, and I'm awfully glad to talk with you.
Tony Nesbitt. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. A lot of women react the same way. Plus a couple of guys, too, if the truth were to be known.
Bob, we are still dealing with work crews at the Albany Street off-ramp from the expressway heading southbound as you've just passed to come out of the South Station Tunnel. That ramp had been closed for a bit of time, may close down again. Currently, traffic is just getting past those crews. Northbound on the expressway, we're doing reasonably well. Outside of the city, 128, 495, the Mass Pike, no major problems reported. Do remember that this is a long holiday weekend. Watch out for the other motorist. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. Bally Total Fitness. Call 1-800-FITNESS today and find out how easy it is to turn on your life.
Easy in Boston, the Norm Deaton Show.
Oh, you'll find them everywhere. But what the heck. Anyway, that's our friend Linda Chase. Singing that and just doing just such a swell job of it. Okay, we're going to do a couple of songs. We'll do that in a little bit. Let me take one or two calls, and then we'll do the Hello Bluebird. We haven't done that for a while.
Famous, and they were playing something sort of outside, as it were. And he looked at Miles and said, "I don't know what to play." And so Miles told him, "Well, then don't play nothing." So yeah. That's the kind of man we hope Miles will be.
I'm sure he'll be. Is that the kind of guy you are too, Gregory?
Well, that's what I'd like to be, but of course that's not what I am, so.
I think you're okay. Hey, the very best to you and to your wife. Is it Gina? Is that what you said?
That's right, yeah.
Gina and little Miles. Big Miles, actually. At 8 pounds, 4 ounces. That's big. That's big Miles. Best of luck. I'm delighted to hear from you. Thanks a million.
Well, thanks very much, Norm. It's official now. You've spoken his name.
That's right. He's been born, and all those of you down there in the area of Marion, come bring gifts.
That's right.
Big, expensive ones, too. Don't be cheap.
Right. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Okay. Take care of yourself.
Okay. So I was down there probably for 4 years, my first life. But I've been, you know, visiting summers and you know, any time during the year when I want to visit relatives there.
Because I think that's beautiful country down there. Where in the Cape do you live now?
I live out here in the Outer Cape in Howardsport.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's even a bit different. I mean, of course, it's so old fashioned down there, and the old architecture and everything. It's just it's quite fun, and you know, it's been such a popular island now, which is nice.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah,
but I think a lot of people miss it. That in the fall, it's even prettier in the fall.
I would think from here on, certainly after Labor Day, when everybody goes home, that is the summer people, and you kind of reclaim your own land again, it must be nice.
It's really nice, too, because, I mean, it's like a lot of, like, small towns on, you know, in New England. It's sort of it seems like during the summer you kind of lose touch, turn track of people. You know, you might think there's a lot of other people around. But, like, it's like the other seasons, everyone seems to get together again. I mean, the big thing down there on the island is the high school football. It's such a popular program down there that there's so many people that go to those games. It seems like everybody kind of gets in touch. So that's a nice thing. And, of course, the cranberry harvest is certainly a wonderful time also to, take a look at what's going on with that. But, I just was curious if you'd been down there because it is such a popular place.
Yes, I did. It's a very long time ago. I remember it being very kind of peaceful and quite nice and kind of fun to rent bikes and travel over the island by bike and all that kind of stuff. But it's been a long time. I kind of have a feeling the whole Cape maybe has changed a lot or increased in population and stuff since then, including Nantucket Island. But I don't know. It's time for a return visit, I would guess.
Yeah, it has changed somewhat, but, you know, I support a lot of the conservation ideas and that kind of thing because I've lived in this area all my life. And but they're making some gains. I mean, there is some building going on, but so far the conservation, you know, the organizations have taken at least 33% of the island land for conservation.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know, there certainly is a lot of land, though, that still could be developed. So
who is taking it? Is it a state agency, or is it the local green belt, or who's putting this land aside?
Well, it's a few different organizations. A couple of them are island based. The town, of course, is into that too. You know, itself, but there's a lot of private organizations that are, you know, involved in that. And again, though, there's still a lot of, you know, there's still a lot of building going on right now, but what's happening is with what I've read in the papers from there is that, you know, if someone wants to build a house, it seems like there's a lot of talk where they kind of compromise a little bit. So, you know, if someone wanted to build like a huge mansion, let's say, so, you know, they might compromise where they might say, well, you know, we'll give you like 1 acre of land. You know, they'll give that to the conservation fund, and they still get to build their house. So it seems like there's a little compromise.
Well, why would they not be allowed to build their house if they're following the local zoning regulations and they have enough frontage and all that?
Well, they could, but it seems like the conservation foundations are, you know, they're just approaching them, just asking them, you know, or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because normally, obviously, you have zoning regulations, and there's the planning board and the zoning board of appeals, and if you stick to the rules, there should be no problem, but You know, unless you don't have quite enough land, and or it might be in an historical district, and they insist upon certain additional rules as a result of that. That can be a little confining, but normally they shouldn't. You know, even though people may not want to see a whole lot of new houses coming up, if they stick within those zoning laws, I don't know that there's much anybody can do. They have every right to go ahead and build.
That's true, Norm. One more point I want to make, and sure. A lot of people probably don't realize this, but there is a zoning regulation down the island that says you can't have you can't have places like McDonald's or, you know, some of the
companies.
Oh yeah,
yeah, right.
Which is good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. As you were saying with the zoning laws and everything.
Yes.
Well, there is certain material that you can use to build a house. So even if they are building houses, they look, you know, they look in character anyways. You know.
You're talking about a regulations that are even more strict, that where the houses have to be of a certain style, you mean? And a certain material, you're saying?
Well, pretty much a material, pretty much. But, you know, they could build them, you know, any way they want, you know, but it's just that the, you know, the material and everything, you know, to make it look more of the character. You know, it still looks nice, even when you build houses, it still looks nice, you know what I mean? Because it still has that old New England charm and you know, still has the island flavor.
Yeah.
But, Norm, keep up the good work, and I enjoy the show.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate hearing from you.
Have a good night.
You too.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay. Hey, is this my friend Margaret up there in West Newbury?
Yes, Uncle Norm.
Hello, Margaret.
And I'm feeling great nowadays.
I'm awfully glad to hear that, because you're a great lady.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. I want to go, you know, the woman who talked about the Edsel?
Yes.
Was that a car that was sort of snub-nosed on the front and on the back?
Yes, they changed the design through the years, but at one time it had this thing looked like a toilet seat in the front, in the middle, or a horse collar or something. And it only came out, I think, about 3 years, something like that, and nobody really wanted it. They didn't sell too many of them, and it
kind of died. I'm no expert on cars, but I remember it looked about the same in the front as in the back.
No, I don't know. No, it didn't look like that. You might be thinking of a Studebaker. 1 year, that looked the same in front as in the back.
Well, now I'm going back to the 30s when I was a very...
Okay. Well,
a very, very little girl.
A tiny little itty-bitty girl.
I was a little itty-bitty girl, and we were somewhere in Georgia or North Carolina driving through.
Yeah.
In a Ford V8 that didn't have any brakes.
Oh, that's good. That's a great adventure.
Well, we couldn't afford them. My daddy never told my mother until we got there.
Oh, so, I see. What did he do? Put his foot out the door and drag it along the road?
No. He just slowed down long before we came to a stop.
Oh, I'm glad nobody pulled in front of him suddenly and stopped.
But what I was trying to tell you was this. We stopped in Lowell Town. It might have been North Georgia. And we stayed in a tourist house, an old-timey house with a tin roof. And anyhow, in the morning, we went somewhere to eat breakfast. It wasn't McDonald's, I assure you. There weren't any then.
That's right.
And a car came up, kind of shiny, and it was exactly the same in the front as in the back.
Yeah, I suspect that was a Studebaker.
Well, everybody in town, it seemed like, came over to look at that car. They didn't look at our old Ford V8 at all. But they looked at that, they patted it, they climbed under it. They just looked all over this car. Of course, not too many folks had cars then.
I know.
A lot of them had wagons with mules and like that. But I do remember, and I wondered if that was the Edsel, but it must have been something else.
No, the Edsel didn't come along till later. The Edsel came out, the Edsel came out in the 50s, and you're talking the 30s.
Yes.
And I know that the Studebaker, which looked, we were talking about that earlier, it looked the same in front as in back.
Oh,
you couldn't tell whether it was coming or going, but that came out earlier, in the 40s, early 40s.
Could have been.
Late 30s, somewhere in that
period. Could have been anywhere in that time.
I would think so.
I reckon, I think.
I bet you look just so sweet in that car. Your hair blowing in the wind and the whole thing. You're looking so adorable.
Well, I thought I did.
I know. It's kind of funny to talk with you because you come from West Newbury, and your husband, of course, was a member of the state legislature for a lot of years.
The last farmer in the legislature.
And I'm a typical New Englander, and I keep forgetting every time I see you, I keep thinking you're a typical New Englander, but you're from the South, actually.
Well, don't I sound more from the South?
You do sound a lot from the South. Yeah, the more we talk, the more Southern you sound.
Well, my husband called me his little Southern Belle.
Well, that was nice.
That was really
nice. How long were you guys married?
Oh, quite a while.
You don't can I pin you down to the number of years? Was it like 40 years or something like that?
Well, we loved each other for 40 years.
But you were married longer than that?
No, shorter.
Okay.
We couldn't get married because we didn't believe in credit.
Well, you didn't believe in credit?
No, we saved to build our log cabin. And we accumulated the $40,000.
Yeah, now, where did you build a log cabin up in West Newbury?
Uh-huh.
No kidding.
But we had to build it twice as big as we wanted to because we were going to look after 5 grandchildren.
Oh. Wait a minute. 5 grandchildren when you were first getting married?
He'd been married before.
And he had grandchildren?
Yes.
He was a lot older than you. Is that so?
Only 19 years older.
Okay, well, I mean, you sound like you were just a young kid, and here you had grandchildren at that young age?
Well, they were his.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
But they were kind of yours, too, by marriage.
They certainly were, and we brought them up together.
That sounds like a lovely romance, Margaret. You're making me kind of get kind of romantic and teary-eyed.
Well, I thought it was a very sweet story, and I loved him very much.
I know you did. I know you did. He was a nice man. And as we said before, when my wife, Norma...
I found the article. It wasn't for the Herald. It was the Lawrence Eagle Tribune.
Yeah, she wrote for them first, then she went to the Herald to do the
icon. And it was 1974 that she wrote the article about the last farmer.
Last farmer in the state legislature.
And now, apparently the last farmer left in Washington.
Well, she was very fond of both you guys, and she thought your husband was something very special. And I know you do, too, and you're okay, Margaret.
He thought she was very special.
Well, she was, too. I won't argue that.
And I write that kind of news.
Well, now, who do you write for?
Right now for the Newburyport Daily News.
Oh, do you?
But I write my reminiscences. I think I'm having come out next week when Cardinal Cushing came to West Newbury.
Yeah. You're writing your reminiscences for what the publication is that?
The Newburyport Daily News.
No, but I thought you were writing for some other publication also, no?
Oh, I'm hoping it'll go in a book.
I see.
Called, right now I'm in a fight to have my birthday recognized.
What is a national holiday? What do you mean?
It was a national holiday. Let's say that you like George M. Cohan and Calvin Coolidge.
You were born July 4th?
No, I was born Memorial Day, May 30th.
May 30th. Okay, now what is it you're looking for? You want it to be a holiday or what? How do you mean?
It used to be.
Well, that's true. Well, it still is, except we celebrate it sometimes the following Monday and all that.
And people call Memorial Day some other day. And I know when I was born, it was Memorial Day, and the title of my book is going to be, I've written 8 other books, but the parades were all for me.
No, it used to be called Decoration Day. And then it was changed to Memorial Day. And in 1972, the traditional date of May 30th was changed to the last Monday in May. So it doesn't always come out, but it's still called Memorial Day.
Yes.
They never changed the name of the day.
Yes, but everybody goes and decorates the graves. And all.
Oh, I know, because it used to be called Decoration Day, but it's been Memorial Day for years. Margaret, we're going to have to sit down and talk. I'm going to have to bring you up to date. Just because you're the last farmer's wife doesn't mean you ought to be out of touch.
I'm not out of touch at all. I'm going to write a piece that doesn't matter who's going to be president. Al, you don't like to talk politics, so I won't win.
Okay.
I don't think it matters a bit.
It probably, in the long run, you know, you're probably right. It probably doesn't. Whoever gets to be president, nothing seems to be changing all that much. Except I'm a political animal, so I get excited about certain candidates. But in the long run, looking back, there's probably not a great deal of difference.
Well, all I mean is the banks own all the houses and the insurance companies run the doctors in the hospitals. So,
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter who's president or governor, really.
Okay, you're probably quite right. I think that there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, Margaret. I got to get going because I got this awful stuff called commercials. I got to get going.
Your idea to talk so long, and I listened to the lady who talked to the man before you. He's a darling, too.
Yes.
Lavelle Dyer.
Oh, Lavelle Dyer's a nice man. Yes, he is.
I love you both.
And I love you madly, too, Margaret. Take care of yourself, dear.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye, Margaret.
Bye-bye, Norm.
Bye-bye. Last of the farmer's wives up there in Newbury, which is up in Essex County near Newburyport. Well, you knew that.
You've been on amusement rides before, and they, well, amused you. But in 1995, you'll experience a thrill that will blow you away.
Imagine yourself transported 200 million years in time.
Because this is not just a ride.
This is not just a movie.
This
is Motion Odyssey. The sights. The sounds. Where the real meets the unreal.
Announcing a brand new Motion Odyssey movie ride added to the original at Jordan's Furniture in Avon.
Mom.
We mix the real and the unreal.
It's been called the greatest thrill ride in America.
Now it's also the longest.
It's not whether you should see Mom.
It's whether you'll survive it.
The original and the new together in 95. Mom at Jordan's Furniture in Avon.
Monday, Labor Day, all stores open 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Martin Baird of Farms Ranch, Texas. When's the last time you tried Ovaltine?
I had Ovaltine last night because I was in the mood for a good-tasting chocolate drink. It's just a rich, creamy, chocolatey taste.
Great-tasting Ovaltine contains 10 essential vitamins and minerals and no fat, no cholesterol, and is 99% caffeine-free.
You want great taste, but you also want to take care of yourself and get the nutritional value. With Ovaltine, you can get both.
Try malt, chocolate malt, and rich chocolate Ovaltine. Tastes great, and it's great for you.
Like a mild diaper rash. It's probably irritating.
Then Juliana Quisling of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, discovered Baby Gold Bond medicated powder.
The Baby Gold Bond, it helps clear it up and helps prevent it because it has zinc oxide in it.
Baby Gold Bond relieves baby's red, irritated skin and helps prevent diaper rash with medication ordinary baby powders don't have.
Baby Gold Bond. I use it more like a preventative now because her diaper rash is gone.
Baby Gold Bond medicated powder at drugstores and supermarkets everywhere. Use only as directed.
As Windows 95 sweeps the country, use it to jumpstart your career. Attend Boston University's free Windows Tech Night, Tuesday, September 12th from 6 to 8 p.m. and learn about the hot Microsoft technologies you can train for, available through the Computer Career Programs and Authorized Education Center. Don't miss this event. You'll learn what's hot in Windows technology, including Windows NT and SQL Server. Find out about the hot Windows jobs and discover the hot Microsoft certified training from Boston University that will qualify you to fill those jobs. Call 1-800-BU-TRAIN to register for the September 12th Tech Night. Come learn about our training, see our product demos, and meet Microsoft representatives. That's 1-800-BU-TRAIN. You could win a free copy of Windows 95 or Windows NT. The first 50 people to attend get free Microsoft coffee mugs. But you must register to attend the September 12th free Windows Tech Night. Get your jump start with Boston University and Microsoft Certified Training. Call 1-800-BU-TRAIN.
Ever wonder what happens to kid actors?
How's a child actor?
Now, I have a movie store.
A lot of screenwriters
use the store to research.
I have a copy service because they have scripts. They have to have a good copy.
Nice supporting role.
I wanted a good copier. I thought Xerox would be very expensive. I called Xerox. They said less than $100 a month. And I was shocked.
At $99 a month, a Xerox copier can play a big role in your business.
Xerox is a happy ending.
To learn more, call 1-800-ASK-XEROX. The document company. Xerox.
This is WBZ's Anthony Silva. Join me at the WBZ Business Breakfast on the Internet, Wednesday, September 13th, 8 to 10 a.m. at the Western Hotel Waltham. Speakers include Paul Burton, director of Microsoft Network, Jeff Taylor, CEO of the Monster Board, and William Cheswick, AT&T Bell Laboratory scientist and co-author of Firewalls and the Internet, Repelling the Wily Hacker. Learn the basics, see how to successfully market a product, examine Internet security issues. Listen to WBZ for a chance to attend. Presented by the Monster Board, Pilgrim Healthcare, Scion Palm Top Computers, and the Tab Newspapers.
This was the opening of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, yeah, in Cleveland. We talked with the director that about 6-7 months ago, because the planning of this has been going on and on. I think they lacked money to finally open the thing, but they finally did. And I guess MTV had a whole big thing on the kickoff concert with Bruce Springsteen, Chuck Berry, a whole bunch of people. And Aretha Franklin, Sheryl Crow, Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, all those guys and gals. If you got a chance to see it, or anybody in the Cleveland area, we had a couple of guys we talked to who have a show in Cleveland. I wonder if we can get in touch with them. They must be on the air now. Love to get a report from them on how it went. But today was the first day it was open to the public, and they had the dedication on Friday. So, anyway, it sounds kind of interesting. The rock and roll Hall of Fame out in Cleveland, kids.
Rich Chocolate Ovaltine versus Nestle Quick.
I'm very surprised. Yeah, very surprised. I really thought that I was drinking Nestle Quick. The Ovaltine flavor was incredible. A rich, sweet chocolate flavor and taste to it.
Joseph Arujo of Louisville, Texas, is trying Rich Chocolate Ovaltine, a different kind of Ovaltine. Its great taste will surprise you.
Rich Chocolate Ovaltine has an excellent taste, an excellent chocolate flavor, and then it adds that nutritional value to it, which Nestle Quick does not have.
Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
Can I finish my milk?
Swollen, red, and itchy. Diaper rash.
Then Ann George of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, discovered Baby Gold Bond medicated powder.
I picked the Baby Gold Bond. He was relieved. The itching was stopped, and he was happy.
Baby Gold Bond relieves baby's red, irritated skin and helps prevent diaper rash with medication ordinary baby powders don't have.
Baby Gold Bond. It's keeping him dry, drier, putting like a protective barrier between him and his diaper.
Baby Gold Bond medicated powder at drugstores and supermarkets everywhere. Use only as directed.
If it's happening now, you're hearing it now on WBZ. Your only choice for breaking news 24 hours a day. News Radio 1030 WBZ Boston.
From ABC News, I'm Dorothy McIntyre.
Your deeds in the Pacific will forever remain the greatest tribute to the American Naval Services.
President Clinton in Honolulu praising the veterans who took part in the VJ operations as they commemorate the end of World War II 50 years ago. He told them the lessons of the war will never be forgotten. The Japanese Consul General in Chicago apologized for Japanese aggression in the war.
In hindsight, we fully recognize that our militarism led us and you down the path of conflict and destruction.
And in Bremerton, Washington, thousands of people turned out at a shipyard in a ceremony marking the anniversary of his ship where Japan signed its surrender. And they turned out by the thousands at Cleveland Stadium to see and hear folks like Jerry Lee Lewis.
I'm a rover, baby. Oh, not a check it going on.
The concert kicks off the opening of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
But he doesn't have to overdo it like that. It gets so awful after a while with that phony accent. Holy cow, I think to coin a phrase.
Holy cow.
Right. Perhaps someone who works in a bank would call in and
well, maybe they would. Yeah, there are a couple of other people on the line, though, I'll get to.
I don't understand that either. I mean, really, it sounds kind of funny.
If you don't have an account in a bank and you don't have identification or something like that, I can understand they're being a little suspicious. But if you have identification, especially if you have an account. Why would it matter what you had in your own account before they'd cash a government sponsored check? It doesn't make any sense. I've never had the kind of problems that Robert from Everett keeps digging up all the time.
And another thing too, I do know, if you put in a personal check, now you only, and I don't know if it's in every bank, but in my bank you only have to wait like less than 2 days. I think it's a day and a half.
Yeah, I think they did set up regulations to limit the amount of time you have to wait for a check to clear, and so they try to get it going as quickly as you can. And again, that's a personal check, but we're talking a Social Security U.S. government-backed check. I don't quite understand that.
Well, anyhow, I was wondering if it would be all right if we talked a little bit about the WBZ Farm Stand for Children's Hospital, since it's less than 2 weeks away.
Son of a gun, how did I know?
Would that be all? Well, because, you see, we have a couple of things that we really need. And I thought, you have so many people listening. And this isn't a joke if I say we really need some clowns. I know we have a lot to work with us.
No, but have we had clowns in the past?
Oh, always. But let me explain. Because we're always out at the Shriners, we always have the Aleppo clowns there, you know, from the Shriners. And the fact that this is our first time back at the WBZ Ottozani Park, right across the street from the station, we're not sure. We may be able to get them, or they may be booked or something like that, and we're having a little problem. But, you know, if anybody was listening to you who has a, you know, does a little clown thing and like to come over and volunteer a little time for the kiddies, we would love it. Because I'm almost finished getting everything together. We've got really a, we're going to have a, are you planning to be with us? I hope so.
I'll drop by for a bit, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be just off the area and you won't have far to go.
No.
Park right
no.
across the street.
Right.
But everything is, you know, really going to be great. And also I wanted to mention that a lot of people are calling saying, well, you know, we live out near the Shriners, but there is going to be bus service from out that way at a place called Young Tiles Farm, who will take people, if they will drive over there, right to WBZ, just as we picked them up from BZ and took them to Wilmington.
And the date is the 15th?
No, 16th. It's actually 2 weeks from last night.
Oh, Saturday the 16th.
Saturday the 16th at 6 a.m.
Okay. 6 a.m.?
Yeah, 6 a.m.
Okay.
Starting breakfast. And we have 30,000 pounds of produce. And we have all the good stuff from the Christmas tree shops. We have the New Liberty Jazz Band. And we have another band, the Danceables. And Mel Simons is going to come and entertain also. And
what will he be doing?
He's going to play his accordion just for you.
Oh, I see.
And well, you know, so a lot of the personalities will come now where a lot of them didn't want to drive all the way. I did speak to Peter Mead, and he's coming, and Gary Lafayette is coming, and, you know, the usual group. So that'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, that's nice.
And this is the 13th year now. And
excellent. And the idea is for people to come relatively early, maybe not necessarily right at 6 o'clock, but the longer you wait, the more stuff is sold.
That's right.
And so the better pick you have, but the earlier you come.
And one other thing is, you know, the old saying we say every year, bring something, buy something. Now, we're going to have a big flea market again this year, which we didn't have too much of last year. And anybody who has anything, but we don't want any junk, you know, that they're going to put out in their backyard and throw away. We like good things for the flea market. They can start bringing them any time to the front desk at WBZ, and we'll accept them as of now. Anything that's good. And then we also will have a big truck there the following week, so if they have lots of good stuff, they can bring them, because there'll be a truck out in front of the building for a week prior to the farm.
Okay, so they can bring stuff right to BZ Studios right now?
Right, anytime, and just leave it at the front desk and mention my name, and someone will come and take it.
Okay, mention the name Ruth.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay,
that's
good.
I'm over there actually a lot now during the day, so if I'm not there, somebody else will know. But, you know, a lot of people knit things and things like that also. If they want to drop them off early, they can do that starting now.
Yeah, last time it seems to me that I had a good deal on 750 loaves of bread.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we do. We have the wonderful, really, you know, the Cumberland Farms, and we have Nissen Bread and all those people. They're really wonderful. I mean, to do all that, it's really, you know, a really nice thing for all of them. Everybody really gets involved, and a lot of people are really happy that we're back here. I mean, you know, it's great out at the Shriners. There's some things that are more convenient as far as setup and all, but maybe we'll go back there.
Well, not only that, but I had the feeling that maybe last year was the last year, because Dave is only, you know, here doing features and stuff, and is mostly on trips and things. So I thought, well, because he's been so closely responsible, I know, along with you, for putting these things together, and, you know, kind of his name was synonymous
right.
with it. So I thought that was the end of it. So it's nice to know it's still continuing.
Right, and I think we're going to continue it, because he's going to be doing those features, and he's coming up here every summer. He's been here, like, for 3 months now. And, I mean, he's living in Florida part of the time, but he's going to be up here during this time so that we can keep doing it for another couple of years.
Oh, I didn't know he was living in Florida.
Yes, he lives in Florida. He moved to Florida about a year ago, and he came up here in June for the summer because it's hot, and then he'll go back after the farm stand and then come back next year.
Son of a gun.
See, you learned something new tonight.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, good. So that's
okay.
September 16th.
Yes, it's actually, we have to say a week from Saturday or 2 weeks from last night.
Okay.
And it'll be 6 o'clock in the morning until whenever it ends, and we're going to have the usual great breakfast. And,
okay, you know, I'll be doing, well, Mel Simons is doing his accordion stuff. He's going to be playing some native songs, and I will be in my...
I
plan to grease my body, put on...
Oh, good.
Yeah, my loincloth.
Well, we're going to have a little TV coverage, so be sure you have makeup on. I mean, you know...
No, I come just the way I am. I'm the way I am, and I do my native folk dancing.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah, because I have sandals and the loincloth, as I mentioned, and I do stuff with my arms that'll just drive you crazy.
Oh, that'll be great. But seriously, if any clowns are listening, if they would just call and leave their number, I'll get back to them, because that's real. There are only two things we really need: clowns and some ponies. But I'll take care of the ponies Monday.
Yeah, I'd bring my horse, except I don't know. She's 150,000 years old now. And in any case, if clowns call, what do they say when they get on the phone? Ha ha ha! This is a clown. Hey, hi.
Well, we have one from last year. It was a stilt walker, you know, and they walk around. We have face painting for the kids. We have a dunk tank. We have all that stuff that
Who's going to be dunked?
I could tell you a funny story. We don't have a lot of time, but I'll tell you fast. I had a little money owed me from the lottery because of a little error. And it was a very small amount of money, and it's been since June 11th. And it isn't the money. It was the principal thing that I was being ignored. So I finally wrote a letter to Joe Malone, and I said, I'll forfeit the money if you'll come to the Children's Hospital farm stand and be in our dunk tank. So guess what?
Is he coming?
He sent me the check.
Oh, I see.
And didn't even put a note in there, you see? But a lot of the Austin Brighton people, politicians, will be there because it's election time coming up, and they all want to meet all the good folks.
They'll do anything, even get dunked, just to get reelected.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, so maybe I'll call you one more time next week as we get closer. Remember, I called you at 4 o'clock in the morning from the hotel last year?
I do recall that.
Yeah, but this year, you're going to be luckier, because I'm going to be in the station with you all night. You lucky duck.
God, I'm feeling fire in my loins.
Me and the state police, who are going to guard everything.
Oh, the state police are going to be on duty.
Yeah, so, and the MDC have really been great, because this is the first time they've ever allowed a big fundraiser over across the street, which is called Artisani Park. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, that's really nice. And I'm a deputy sheriff in Middlesex County, except this is not Middlesex County. It's Suffolk.
Well, okay, I'll put you in charge.
But I do have my badge.
Can you direct a little traffic?
Oh, I can do anything,
good,
sure.
Good, good.
Oh, yeah.
There's also going to be a Harvard-Cornell football game that day, so we'll have a lot of extra people.
Oh, that's right. They'll be right down the road.
Yeah.
I better get going, because I got
okay,
a commercial
bye.
Stop. Bye-bye, Ruth. Talk to you soon. That little weekly newspaper that was losing money, and we're really broke. It was terrible. I go in and cash a check like for $3 so I could have lunch.
Sure.
Okay. Now, this woman behind the counter, she would get on the phone and call to see if we had it covered, which is humiliating when you're,
sure,
when you're talking about a $2 or $3 check.
Sure.
And I thought, who's she calling? Some hermit or some dwarf down 9 levels below the bank in some cave there somewhere, and he's looking it up through cobwebs. and so the only thing that saved my dignity then, and we were very young and just beginning in life, and financially it was really kind of a disaster at that point. In any case, I would, in order to salvage some kind of, I don't know, just to make me feel better,
right,
I would pretend this woman had no skirt on and she was naked from the waist down. See, she'd be behind the counter, so I figured, you know, in the teller's booth, you can't see whether she's even dressed all the way down or not. And in order to salvage my own dignity, I had to take away her dignity. So I would look at her and think, you're probably naked below your shirt there, aren't you, lady? And that's the way we got through those years.
Oh, God. Yeah, that reminds me of my uncle one time went to a banquet that one of the parties at Christmas, and his wife was too sick to go. And he came home, and his wife said, well, how was the Christmas party? And how would they trust these girls? And he said, well, when we were sitting down to eat, he said, over the table they didn't have much on, and I didn't dare look under the table. God, it's hard to hear you. We're getting a little scratch in the telephone.
I think so, Peggy, but I appreciate the call.
It's been a joy talking to you.
Enjoy talking to you, too.
Okay,
thanks a lot.
Okay, and have a good night and a good weekend.
You too, dear.
Bye, dear.
Bye-bye. Okay, I hope you all have a good weekend. This is, of course, the Labor Day weekend, and WBZ being portable, you can take us with you where we go, and we're nice people. And you don't have to, if you listen to it, when you're tuning in BZ, nobody's going to say, you can't tune us in unless you have an equal amount of money in your own personal account. Joe in Taunton. Hi, Joe.
It was about 10 years ago. I was coming home on leave from Virginia, back to Massachusetts, and I was in the service at the time. And I had a government check, you know, and I stopped at a bank in Pennsylvania to cash it. And I had the military ID and my mass driver's license, which was, you know, 2 photo IDs. And I absolutely couldn't cash it. They wouldn't allow it.
What excuse did they give you for not doing that?
I didn't have an account, first of all.
Oh, you had to have an account. That was the main thing? You didn't have an account in that bank?
That was the main thing. I didn't have an account at the bank. I said, geez, you know, this is my, you know, I have no permanent address right now. I'm, you know.
I know you had perfectly good identification and you needed the money. What's the big deal? Why do they do that to you?
I have no idea, Norm. And what I did was I had relatives that live in Pennsylvania. I had to drive about, it wasn't so bad. It was only about 50 miles out of the way.
Well, that's a lot of miles out of the way. You shouldn't have to do that. And they had to vouch for you or cash it themselves?
I had to go to their bank and they had to co-sign my check, my government check, Treasury of the United States.
I know it. I mean, the government doesn't have the money to cover it or...
Well, that's what I didn't understand.
I can understand the fact if you look kind of, you know, kind of sly there, Joe, and maybe you've stolen the check and it's not you.
Right.
Oh, you have that kind of photo identification. There's question about it. What is wrong with this? We're going to be tied up in red tape forever. That's the way the entire world is going to die one day. We won't have identification or something or other, and we'll all just rot away, and that'll be the end of the world.
Absolutely, Norm. As a matter of fact, I can thank my lucky stars. I had relatives that were close by because I wouldn't have had enough gas money to get home.
Well, even then, you needed, 50 miles? You got to go 50 miles out of your way. There shouldn't be any need for that.
No,
I trust you, Joe.
There shouldn't have been, but it was, you know, just to confirm that gentleman's story that, you know, as far as checks and banks are concerned, sometimes they'll be pretty harsh on you.
Yeah, and I was harsh on him, and I guess I should believe the fact that I don't have any great warm feeling in my soul for banks.
Right.
So I should have believed him, but somehow I always question what he says automatically, you know, and that's probably not fair.
Well, I don't know the caller either. So I listen every night, but I usually get home from work pretty late. As a matter of fact, you got me out of bed to call on this one.
Well, I'm glad you did call, and if you have a check to cash, just come and see me.
Oh, okay.
I'll go work it out.
I love your show.
I love you too, Joe. Thanks a million for calling.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Hope I didn't embarrass him saying I love you. Do you understand what I'm saying? One guy says that to another guy. It means, hey, I love the way you live and I love your lifestyle, even though, and I'm manly. So don't take it from me. And everything was just going terribly wrong. I think we got calls from Miss Emerson at the phone company because the bill was overdue on the phone. Anyway, this guy called me and said, your bill is overdue. And I said, I unleashed a language at him I couldn't believe I was saying, because I'm basically a very gentle person. And he said, we're calling in the entire loan. I thought, I can't even pay the month's payment, let alone the whole thing, which was another... Anyway, my experiences with banks during a time when I really needed them are really bleak. And I think anybody who works at a bank is a suspect in my mind, even the cutest, most adorable, nicest person.
Isn't it funny how they only prefer to deal with people that can pay back the money, but if you could pay back the money, you wouldn't be borrowing.
Well, that's right. I guess the way it goes is the banks will deal with you if you don't need them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope you arrive at that point very, very soon where you can say, the heck with you guys. I don't need you.
I'm off to Bermuda.
That's right. Do it as you wish, and I hope your bank fails. But now the banks are getting so huge, they're all consolidating, and the bank that I've dealt with for a number of years, this is the fourth bank in the same place. More and more consolidations.
Different names, you mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, I forget the very first name. Then it became the Arlington Bank, which is headquarters in Lawrence. And then the Shawmut Bank took over. And then now the Shawmut Bank, as you know, is meeting with a Fleet Bank. Mm-hmm. So it'll be Fleet next. This is my fourth bank, and it's the same place. It's kind of nice. It's not kind of nice at all. It started out as a cozy, little, quiet, little neighborhood bank.
Now it's a conglomerate.
Well, at one time, I think banks had to do business within the same county in which they were incorporated.
I never knew that.
And then they did away with that, so banks could go across county lines, and now they've become just huge. I tell you what, let's set up a posse. A whole bunch of us will go in and break the noses of every bank president in the area. What do you say? Want to do that?
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll start a lottery for the person that gets to do it. Yeah, and so out of the 12 of us.
We'll do that. Let's not reveal much care. Jim, how you doing, Jim?
I never thought I would have to say this to you, Norm. You owe that gentleman an apology.
Robert from Everett. Yes, I do. I was.
Oh, you were really tough on him.
I really was, and
wasn't right.
He was right, and I was wrong.
Yeah, tough on him.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Jim.
So go ahead, apologize.
Oh, gee, please don't make me do it right now.
No, you have to do it. Come on. It takes a bigger man to admit he was wrong. Come on.
No, could I have a day or so just to work it out in my mind?
No, it has to be done now.
Right now?
Everybody would be proud of you.
Okay. Oh, this really hurts. Oh, Robert, I'm sorry. You were right, and I was wrong.
Very good.
Oh, gee, boy, I'm going to bite.
That's very good. That's awesome.
Oh,
my stomach
is turning now. I feel so bad.
I'll take it a step further. How's this?
Okay.
I have $20,000 in one account in my bank, okay?
Yeah.
And maybe 10 in another, and maybe 500 in another account. I have like three accounts.
Yeah.
I go to cash a check for maybe 800 in the one that I have 500 in, and they tell me they won't cash it, because I don't have the funds to cover it in that particular account. But in the bank, I have, 40 grand.
Yeah, yeah, they don't want, they can't think in terms of transferring it from one to the other if they need to.
No, that's what they make you do. They make you put it into the account that has the money, and then they'll transfer it over. That's how crazy it is.
Oh, boy.
And they know you personally. I mean, I'm a business person. They know who I am. So that's how bad it is. But I'm real proud of you, Uncle Norm, that you apologized, and you have a good night, all right?
Okay, you too, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. No, there was an old joke about a guy goes into a bank, and the teller there recognized him. He's a movie actor. See, he's well-known. And the teller says, I watch your I've seen every one of your movies. I'm a real fan. Boy, you are really something. You're one of the greatest actors that I know. I dream about you. You're my idol. And then he goes to cash a check, and she says, I'm sorry, do you have any identification? You kind of have a feeling that's the way life is. Heading west. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go to Marion in New Hampshire, and we'll go and Rob in Boston. Marion, you're on WBZ. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. I hope you're okay.
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
I just wondered, that woman that called you first said she had $100 in the bank, right?
I guess, yeah, I forgot.
And they wouldn't cash her check.
Yes.
But she could have arrangements made to have her check sent directly to the bank.
Yeah, but I guess she needed the money right then.
Well,
if they send it right to the bank, that would be deposited to her account. Oh, okay, but she still wouldn't have the cash right then when she needed it.
Well, she could get it in a day.
Well, in a day, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know her situation. Maybe she needed it right then and couldn't wait a day.
Probably.
Yeah, and if it were a check made out by a business, you know, on a legitimate check.
I can't understand that because I have never had that experience at all.
Yeah.
I've cashed checks when I didn't have that much money.
I know it, especially where the check wasn't a personal check. You're talking about a business check or a government check or something.
I really can't understand it.
Yeah.
I'm just for the fun of it, the next time I go to my bank, I'm going to ask them.
Okay, good enough. Maybe you can call me back and tell me what they say.
I live right in Greenland, New Hampshire. It's right outside Portsmouth.
Oh, I know just where it is. Sure. Is it a local bank you deal with, or is it a chain?
Well, it's the First National Bank. There are several branches.
Oh, I know. So the banks, there are a few neighborhood banks now, but most of them are getting bigger and bigger as they consolidate.
I know it. I think it's too bad because I like to go into a bank where the people know me.
I do, too. You know something else? Come close. I don't want everybody to hear this. But I like to deal with business people who are small business people who've been in the same town for years instead of going off to, like, these big, huge hardware stores and these big stationery stores and all that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but you deal with people and big drug stores. I always like to deal with my local druggist, you know, because I know if I got sick at 3 in the morning and I were home, he'd come by with the whatever I needed.
Well, and it's so hard to find local people now, too, because there's so many chains.
I know that a lot of the local smaller stores are closing up shop because they just can't compete anymore. Hardware stores especially. You had a local hardware dealer. You could go in and talk with him about...
Yeah, well, we're lucky. We do have one here. It's in Portsmouth, but it's where you can go to it.
Yeah, that's a pretty area you live in. How big is Greenland? What's the population? Do you know?
I think the population now is about 2,600.
Okay, so you're still a pretty small town.
Yes, it is.
A very interesting... It's just like when you had a guy with the music trivia, and tonight took the cake for me. Last night when you had Steve Allen, that was great. Mm. And tonight when you had the fads and the flops and all that stuff, I mean, that was, you know, it's interesting, you know, because you usually don't think of these things until you have a guest on, and all your guests are always, you know, entertaining and informative.
Well, I thank you very much, and I thank Tony... Yes, but actually, because he digs up a lot of these people. And the idea is to get people on who are not on, who normally you don't hear. You know
what it is? It's not the same OJ, because that's on all the stations. And the good thing is, Norm, I was listening to the radio a couple of days ago, and it was funny. I heard Larry Glick on. He was on this station. I won't name it.
What station was he on? You can say
I think it was WJIB.
Was it JIB or wasn't GBH?
No, it wasn't GBH. It was WZ because this guy, he was interviewing him for about 2 hours.
Really?
About 2 or 3 hours. And then he asked Larry Glick, he said, well, what do you think about late talk night, you know, shows in Boston now? He said, lousy. And then the funny thing is, he says, but I listen on the weekend because I like a guy named Norm Nathan. Then the guy said, oh, we all know Norm. Because he says, you know, there's no entertainment no more in this, you know, it's the same thing. But he said, you know, you're funny and, you know, you're witty and you're light. And I guess that's what people want, just like Larry Glick. He was the same way. You know, it's funny.
Larry should still have a show on the air.
If he was on, he'd be number one by no means.
Oh, no question about that.
But the last comment, too, Norm, is This is a beautiful time of year, like I always tell you, because the kids are going back to school. You can tell that there's a change in the weather. It seems like fallish already.
It does.
And, you won't see no more 90-degree days, I don't think. But it was a beautiful summer. I mean, the whole month of July was, like, hot. And it started winning, like, in June, I think.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it had a good summer. Every year that I have a good year, I appreciate it, because I say, geez, just think if I wasn't here.
That's a nice attitude to have.
Yeah, and then going into the fall, I mean, this is weather because now it's like Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And, they'll be here before you know it. And then I look forward to those months. It's very, some people like the hot weather. I like the fall. And when you played that music last night, that ragtime stuff, I asked my mother this morning, I said, do you remember this song? She says, oh, yeah. She said, that's when living was living. She said, I get on that floor and we dance and we have us a ball, not like you kids today with that rap stuff. Because it was funny, I didn't even like that music you played last night.
Oh, that was about as hokey as you could get. I thought it was funny. I kind of made you laugh.
But I remember some movies, when I used to look at them, the old movies, like with that guy, what's his name, Eddie Arnold? In the old 20 movies when they wore the raccoon coats and the...
Oh, yeah, not Eddie Arnold. It was Eddie... Eddie Bracken was
Yeah, yeah, Eddie Bracken. Yeah, Bracken. Yeah, when they wore those raccoon coats and it was at the football games and they... Oh, man, I mean, that was... I wouldn't mind being back there in those times.
Okay.
I mean, I sort of loved it. But, you have a good show, Norm. You should be on every night. You're very entertaining and informative, and you're the greatest talk show host in America.
Okay, Rob, thanks.
Take
a
it
lot.
Easy, buddy.
You too. Yeah, one of the guys with those old raccoon, I think a raccoon coach of the old college rah-rah pictures of the 30s primarily was Eddie Bracken, also Jack Oakey. Remember big heavy Jack Oakey was one of those. There was another Jack, Jack Carson. Is that his name, Jack? Yeah, Jack Carson. Whole bunch of them. Anyway, Dieter in Maryland. Hi, Dieter. You're on WBZ. How you doing?
Yeah, good evening, Norm.
Good evening.
Yeah, I'm down here in Maryland, and I called just to tell you how proud I am of you for that heartfelt apology.
I know it.
And, down here in Maryland, considering the time I spend on hold, it cost me between $5 and $10.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To talk to you, and that's how proud I am of you.
Well, you make me feel like I'm 10 feet tall, Dieter. I want to live up to your expectations. And I want to be a good person.
I have to agree with most of the people that call and say it is difficult to cash a check these days unless you have the money in the account. I remember reading not too long ago that President Clinton was visiting Arkansas and he wanted to cash a check. And he presented a check and the teller asked him if he had any ID. And the president said, ID about what?
That is one of the worst jokes I ever heard, Dieter. Okay, thank you.
Have a good night.
You too, Dieter. Thank you. Okay, we'll take some more calls. But every now and then, there's certain things happen that really bother me a lot. One is the fact that it's a stagnant wages are fueling business profits, according to a report from a labor-affiliated think tank. Okay, you can say, well, it's a labor organized group that said this, but we know this. A lot of businesses are making big bucks and they're doing very, very well, and the average worker is doing less and less and has to have two jobs, and the income doesn't seem to be going up. It seems to be going down, or it certainly remains stagnant while prices go up, which is the same as getting a reduction in pay. And meantime, companies are laying off more and more people while their profits are getting bigger and bigger. And banks won't cash a government a Social Security check unless you got an account there and you got the money to back it up. Is this kind of a conspiracy against the average person? I mean, these are the people who built this country who are very special. Okay, I won't get that, that wrought up about this, but it bothers me a whole lot, and I have a feeling it bothers you too. We have another one of these gold bond commercials, and also the Gold Bond and Ovaltine, and it seemed at one point we had about 80 million of them within a half hour period. I'm exaggerating a bit, but we had a lot, and I guess I kind of blew up a little bit at that point. And yeah, one of those talented people. You don't even care what I'm saying now, do
yes,
you?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay.
And Holly seems like a nice gal. I heard her on the birthday game.
She's a very nice person. If she didn't get so heavily involved in drugs and alcohol, she'd be particularly good. No, I made that up, too. See, I tell you the truth, everything is really so bland and so nice, and I don't know, just everything here. I try to inject a lot of evil here to try to make this thing a little bit more exciting than it really is. We can get actually boring here.
Well,
everything is so nice.
Not with you around, I don't think so.
You're okay, Dina. What do you do up there in Bradford?
I'm a medical secretary.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that means, that does what? What does that do?
I take appointments for doctors.
Oh, I see.
And tell crazy people to, you know, get a room somewhere.
Yeah, I see. So when you said you're a medical secretary, I thought maybe at least you inject things or...
No, that's what the nurses do.
Oh, the nurses do. So you make appointments. And you call up and say, Mrs. Cransford, I just wanted to remind you, I have an appointment with Dr. Pulchkin tomorrow morning at 10.
And don't miss it, you stupid bag, because you missed it four times before.
Yeah, and we're going to have to start charging you for this. You understand? You think these guys sitting around here with tongue depressors up there pooping? They got things to do, you know. They got to wait around while you try to remember where you're supposed to be with your damn appointments. Do you hear what I'm saying?
No, anyway, the doctors are worse than the patients.
In what way? Oh, tell us, reveal.
Well, keeping people waiting, that's all.
Oh, I know that.
You know, it makes you feel bad.
You know what I found out? There's this you can count on this, is kind of a rule of thumb. The newer and the most recent the magazines are in a doctor's office, the less he'll keep you waiting. The ones who keep you waiting are who have like 10-year-old copies of National Geographic, and there's nothing to read, nothing.
Listen, anyway, any doctor that's got National Geographic in his office, something wrong there?
No, that's right. He's the guy who's going to keep you waiting. I mean, there's no question about that.
I like going in there and looking at Glamour and stuff.
Okay. Now, I have a dentist, for example, who's got the very latest in all kinds of magazines. Great stuff to read.
My dentist has People. I love that.
Oh, People. Yeah, this guy has that, too. People on all kinds of magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there and you're ready to read because he's got all the magazines you want to see and you don't have to buy. But he's right on the stick. He takes his appointments right when they're supposed to be taken.
My dentist also is, like, I don't understand. I think they do more work than the doctors do actually in their office. And so I can't understand why the doctors get so far behind.
I don't understand that either. I think we'll have to send the WBZI team over there to check them.
Check a few of them.
I will.
Like, see, what the heck's up?
Okay.
I like going to the dentist, you know.
Oh, come on.
I do. I enjoy it. I'm going next Thursday.
And you're looking forward to it.
I go every 3 months. I love it.
You go every 3 months for cleaning?
Yes, because I smoke.
Because what?
I smoke.
Oh, I don't smoke, so that's why you have to get your teeth cleaned a lot.
Yeah, but I like it. I like it too. I think I'd go anyway, even if I didn't smoke.
You just love to have your teeth cleaned.
I don't know. I really like having my mouth open that long without being able to say anything.
is this kind of a perverted thing that we're talking about? You and I sitting here talking about having our teeth cleaned? What is happening? What is happening to us?
I don't know. I think you're getting some kind of ideas.
I don't know what that
means.
But I
don't think I put them in your head.
No, I don't know what that means, but I'm getting excited. Anyway. Hey, listen, I got to take a few more calls before we say good night, although yours is one of the pretty precious ones. I hope you'll call me again and we can flirt some more.
Oh, well, I certainly will.
Unashamedly. Okay.
Does that mean in front of the folks?
Oh, yeah, we can do that. We can do it any way you'd like.
Okay.
Take care, Dina.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, God, I feel like a young buck all over again. Let's see, who are we talking? Oh, this is Granny Brown in Norwood. Hi, Granny.
Oh, good morning.
Is that what they call you, Granny Brown?
Oh, yes. My, quote, stage name.
Oh, your stage name. Oh, okay.
I'm only kidding, like you.
Okay.
But I'm just a totally useless, tacky young chick. And I won't tell you my age.
You don't
but I remember
to.
When I got into the movies for 10 cents and pickles were a nickel.
I remember all that, too, Granny
do
Brown.
Do you? And do you remember, Eduardo Cianelli in Winterset with Margot?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't remember that. I feel so bad.
Oh, I topped you.
You did? Yes.
Well, listen, what prompted me to call?
Yeah.
The lady before the news, her son was in Arizona, and he did the flea market.
Yes.
And I thought, my goodness, the WBZ flea market is coming up in 2 weeks.
That's right.
And I met you there last season.
Oh, can we meet again this season?
Of course. Over under the food tent.
Oh, the same romantic spot.
Yes.
Oh, that'll be
beside
nice.
Beside the grills.
Oh, that's so... Oh, fire is again building in my loins at the very thought of it. That's such a meeting. Okay.
Oh, dear.
You know,
we girls are getting in trouble here remoting this morning.
I know, but this is getting to be an X-marked, X-rated program. But the flea market is, for people wondering, it was 2 weeks from this weekend. It's Saturday on...
Saturday the 16th.
The 16th, and it'll be right across from the WBZ studios on Sturrow Drive...
Soldiers
Field Road, which
remember
is sort of...
Remember where you are?
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of an extension of Sturrow Drive.
Oh, yeah.
Soldiers Field Road, right across the way at the park there, and it starts at 6 in the morning, so I'll be there first thing.
Well, last year, I remember I'm riding... Oh, we were up at the Shriners.
Yeah, up in Wilmington.
In Wilmington.
That's right.
But this will be good. It's easier for folks to get to.
I think so. Yes, it is.
But last year, I was riding up in the morning in the pitch black all by myself on 128, and you were on. And you were urging everybody to come on up.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'll do it again.
I will. No, yeah, that...
I am in charge of fleas.
Okay.
Yes. And we need people to bring things, but good, usable things.
Yeah, not stuff that you're going to throw out.
That's right. That happens every year. And I figured, gee, I should be home cleaning out my own closets here. But they bring them and dump them. No, we like usable things.
Oh, absolutely, too, because and the money, of course, that's raised goes for Children's Hospital.
Right.
And it's so it's obviously we don't have to even mention the fact it's good cause.
Over the years, I wonder how much money we have taken in. This is like the 11th one, and thousands of dollars, I'm sure.
Oh, I think even more than that. Maybe.
Oh, maybe. I was going to say a million, but
I don't know. Now, hundreds of thousands, certainly. No, I don't know. I really can't say. But I'd say hundreds of thousands of dollars, yes, easily.
Well, we need those customers, so
okay.
Hope they'll listen to you till 4 o'clock and then get out in their cars and drive over.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll be on till 5, and so that means I can... I'll just go over there right after I get off the air, and I hope to meet... I'll see you again, Granny, and I hope to see a whole lot of people there.
I'm sure you will. The ladies will all gather around you.
Oh, I hope not, because you know how shy I am. Hey, Granny, we'll see you then, and thanks a lot for mentioning that.
Right on, and bring those fleas.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bring those fleas, eh? Irene in Ohio. Hi, Irene.
Oh, hi, Norm.
Hello.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Norm, is Chauncey for real?
That's what I'm wondering about. Chauncey's not his real name. His real name is Jim O'Neill. And he used to be a newspaper publisher and editor and all that kind of stuff. And, no, I think the accent is affected.
Oh, I think then you must know him pretty well.
No, I don't know him well. I've never met him. I've talked to him on the phone, and I know about the newspaper or the magazine affiliation, but I don't believe I've ever actually met him in person.
Well, you know, I heard him last week, and then I heard him again tonight. And, you know, you crack me up when you imitate him. I stood here, you know, somebody was watching me through a keyhole or something. They'd think I was, you know, going out of my mind the way I laugh. You know how you imitate him, and he doesn't get mad, does he?
No, as a matter of fact, he sounds like he's imitating himself, as a matter of fact.
Well, I was going to say, I think he overdoes it a little. He's kind
I think
of exaggerated.
Yeah, I think earlier this morning he was really doing it. He was talking about this car. You know, I thought Chauncey for.
That cracked me up.
The reason we call him Chauncey, when he said his name was Jim, I said he didn't sound like a Jim. He sounded more like a Chauncey.
Like Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, so he became a Chauncey, you know, which was kind of a British kind of name.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So then he became Chauncey, and I think he's really living the role now.
Oh, that's funny, though.
Yeah, to a point where it's getting crazy.
When you two carry on like that, it's funny. Well, Norm, the real reason I called was that I'm interested in getting a shortwave radio because I'm having a little bit of trouble, even WBZ, kind of the signal will fade occasionally, and depending on the time of night or morning it is, you know, it fades more than ever. Are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm right here. No,
oh,
I'm hearing
okay,
you.
Okay, would I be able to get some of the distance stations better, do you think?
It might depend on the radio, or it might be something you can do with the radio that you now have. You know what I'd like to do? I don't know what to tell you because I don't understand the technical aspects of all this myself. So I was going to suggest if you could send me a note mentioning the kinds of things you're talking about, I'll turn it over to our chief engineer. And you'll hear from him, and maybe he's got some ideas he can send you.
You mean there'd be better reception on the shortwave?
Well, no, I don't know about short. I mean, it depends on what kind of a radio, or it depends. Sometimes you can put a wire antenna on the radio you have, jump, put it out the window, face the radio in a different direction, or there are little tricks you can do to pick us up better.
Yeah, I've heard of that, but I can't do that with this one because the AM antenna is enclosed.
I see.
You know?
Okay, so there's no way you can add another wire to it or anything.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah.
And I heard that, you know, there are so many, you know, old-time radio is really coming back, and I found several stations on the radio, but the reception isn't that good. Don't you think? Old-time radio programs are coming back.
Well, I know there are some stations that are playing more of them now.
Uh-huh.
I hope so, because, I mean, it's kind of radio that I always loved, and that's what I grew up with before television.
Uh-huh.
So the only thing I can suggest is maybe write to me, and I'll pass it along to the chief engineer, and perhaps he can send you some suggestions. Or what might be better, to go to
Radio Shack?
Yeah, like Radio Shack or something. And talk with, see if you can find somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Well,
sometimes you get a clerk who doesn't.
Yeah, well, see, that's the problem, though, Norm. You go in these places, and they don't know what they're talking about. They're in there to sell you anything they can. And they're not experts on, you know, things like that. Do you remember E.G. Marshall and the Mystery Theater?
I certainly do, the CBS Mystery Theater, yes.
Yeah, right, yeah.
It used to be on every night. Hiram Brown was the old director of that, producer and stuff.
Yeah, right.
And,
right.
They used to be on at 9 to 10 here in Boston. On the network, as a matter of fact, it was on the CBS network, 9 to 10 everywhere.
What? Oh.
In the Eastern time zone, anyway.
I think you're here, though. Well, Eastern time.
The local stations might have taped it and broadcast it later or earlier, but I know here it was on about 9 o'clock at night, and I used to listen to it a lot. Yeah, I thought it was a fun show.
And I heard Steve Allen. I heard you had Steve Allen on last night, and
yes.
Unfortunately, I tuned in kind of late, and he was already gone. Was he in radio?
Yes, he started out in radio. He did a radio show first, then Of course, there's been a television for years and years, yeah. But he started out in radio. I have to go because I'm late. I hate to say that, Irene.
Okay.
If I can hear from you, I'll pass your letter on to the chief engineer. In any case, I hope I'll hear from you anyway, and we can talk one other night.
Okay, thanks, Norm.
Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Okay, it is time to say goodbye on behalf of Hope Schauer and the lovely Marilyn Gorelick, myself. We'll be back tonight. We're going to play some more games. Okay, at 11 o'clock. Bye-bye, old sport. Norm Nathan here. WBZ Boston.
Where did the time go? This whole month is going to be filled with Norm Nathan shows from 1993 to 1996. Lots to look forward to and a lot of work to do. Remember to like, subscribe, and share, and hit the bell to get notifications when our episodes publish. And support us over on Patreon. As always, the link is below. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For Mason Adams, Arthur Godfrey, the Aleppo Shriners, the New Liberty Jazz Band, the Danceables, the Boston Tab Newspaper, Newburyport Daily News, Farmers, Cumberland Farms, Nissen Bread, Miss Emerson, Mrs. Cransford and Dr. Polshkin, Itchy Babies, Martin Baird, Juliana Quinslig, Joseph Arujo, Ann George, Mom, the Motion Odyssey Movie Ride, Jordan's Furniture in Avon, Tongue Depressors, Mel Simons, Larry Glick, Mr. Farmstand, Dave Maynard, Hope Schauer, Jack Hart, and that young buck with the fiery loins, Norm Nathan. I'm
Tony Nesbitt. Ugh.